So the reading for today is Psalm 62, and you can follow it on the screen, or if you've got your Bible with you, whether it's paper or electronic. Psalm 62. My soul rests in God alone. My salvation is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will never be greatly shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They fully intend to throw him down from his lofty place. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait in silence for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be shaken. With God is my salvation and my honor. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are just a breath, and men of high degree are a lie. In the balances they will go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Don't trust in oppression. Don't become vain in robbery. If riches increase, don't set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, Lord, belongs loving kindness, for you reward every man according to his work.
Thank you, Ben. And as we go to our first slide, just a reminder that we're in a series on six salvation psalms. And there's a certain aspect of salvation that flows through all of these. And in the first week, we looked at Psalm 22, about the God who is able to deliver. And then the next week, we looked at Psalm 27, and specifically about God as someone who can save us from the enemy without and the enemies that surround us. Last week, we looked at Psalm 51 about salvation from sin, salvation from the enemy within. But today, we will be exploring Psalm 62, the psalm that you just heard. And there is one big central idea that comes through this, and it has to do with our souls finding rest and we ourselves depending upon God in changing times. And so the big idea of this psalm, and the one that we're going to focus on today, is so important that it actually is repeated. We hear it at the very beginning of the psalm, and then dead set in the middle of the psalm, David repeats it. My soul rests in God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. And then down in the middle again, yes, my soul wait in silence for God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. And just picking up on some words that Rob, when he sent me his notes, I want to give him some credit where credit is due. But he made the comment, the world can be a tough place. Things often don't go the way we plan or expect. And much of what we strive for ultimately will not last. Only God, our only rock, can save us from a meaningless and turbulent life. So during the week when Rob and I were talking about the sermon that he hoped to preach, we were discussing a podcast about Tim Keller. For those of you who don't know, Tim Keller has become a very well-known pastor and almost like a pastor on the world stage. I think so many people have read his books and listened to his podcast. Just highly respected and quite a gentle and loving guy. And very recently, he went to go and be with the Lord. He's known quite some time that he was had a terminal cancer, and he was quite happy to talk to people about what that meant for him. And I just want to read to you just a little bit from a transcript from his recent podcast as he knew that he was going to go and be with the Lord. Tim said this: "The first time I spoke to my doctor about the pancreatic cancer, he said, 'You're going to die of this. We don't have any way of really curing this. The reality is that there have been remissions and things that we can't explain, but the fact is that you need to assume that this is going to take you out.'" So here we are, speaking about him and his wife and his family. And what this has done to both me and my wife is that it has just shown us that we were living in a veil of illusion, that we would live forever. What happens is that the things of the earth grow strangely dim. And when that happens, you say, "God is not really enough for me. I really don't have enough of a grip on God to get me through the day." I was really living off a deep denial of my mortality and a belief that the things of this world are really the things that are going to satisfy me, but they never really have. And what he really went on to say as he continued on that interview are the words that are reflected in Psalm 62. He went on to find that my soul rests in God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. Yes, my soul will wait in silence for God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. And so what this psalm goes on to then declare is it talks about the unpredictability, the transience, the unreliability of the world around us. And the first thing he does is he really talks about the people of this world. The people of this world are unreliable. I know this because I'm a person in this world and I'm unreliable. And if you have ever let someone down, you've been let down by other people, we just realize, even on our best days, we can be unreliable. So picking up from verses 3 and 4, the psalmist asks, "How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." I don't know how closely you've been following the news over the last few weeks, but it's just been full of all kinds of scandal, right? And I don't care where you want to look. Are you looking to the great leaders on the world stage of the great, you know, superpowers of the world? Are you looking to our politicians closer to home? Are you looking to the might of our military and the dependability of our military and military personnel? Are you looking to the reliability of our legal system and that it will deliver justice in the end? In all of these cases, you would be sorely disappointed. And so I don't intend to talk about anything in particular today, but as I speak these words, if you've been watching the news, you could kind of plonk any story into this. But we've been seeing these stories come out, and particularly in Australia, about things that have happened in Parliament House, in the halls of respectability. These are where our leaders go and make important decisions for us and all of these things. And unholy alliances between politicians and the media. And at one stage, you know, people and power brokers and kingmakers are sitting in rooms and having private discussions about how they're going to bring down their political opponents and all of these kinds of things. At one moment, people are sending secret text off to their favorite political leaders to see, you know, who can come along and align themselves with me. And then the next moment, suddenly, all of this is out in the open. The secret meetings are being played out on television. The secret texts are being printed in all of the newspapers. And it reminds me of when Jesus said, the things that are said in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. And suddenly everyone's scrambling, and where are these texts, you know, leaks coming from, and how did these things get out? You know, one moment we were all there together, and we were aligned together, but then someone didn't like what someone else's did, and then someone threw someone under the bus, and then I'm going to get back at you, and then the whole thing comes out, right? And we're still waiting to find out what's going on and what actually happened, but it's never quite what it seems. You know, if you think you know what it is in the news today, well, just wait for tomorrow's news, because people are unpredictable. And it kind of reminds me of one of my favorite proverbs, where the proverb writer says, how foolish it is to set a trap for the birds in full view of the birds. And I just love the picture that it draws, because you see this guy on the ground, you know, and he's spreading out some bird seed and everything and making a little snare and looking this way and looking that way. And the birds are sitting up in the trees going, what are they doing down there? They're making a trap for us. Well, we got to make sure we don't go down there, everyone. And meanwhile, I think I've got it all set. And what the proverb is really trying to say is, all of these people, when we are making our secret schemes, when we are plotting in our hearts, when we're plotting in our minds, when we're whispering over in little corners, God is sitting up there in heaven like the birds, and he's watching everything. He knows everything. He knows every thought. He knows the words before they come out of your mouth. He sees it all. There aren't any secrets. And the things that are whispered in secret rooms will be shouted from the rooftops. God is sovereign. God knows. God will bring about justice. And so we may not be able to depend always upon our politicians and our world leaders and our military and our court system. We need to some extent. I'm not saying don't ever trust anyone. But we all know what it's like to be let down even by those who are close to us. People are unpredictable, but God can always be trusted. He always has your best interest. He will always be your faithful friend. And then the psalmist goes on to say that we also can't rely upon money and status and prestige. I'm going to read to you from verse 9. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. Rob made the comment in his notes, it doesn't matter what status or education someone has, apart from God, they're just hot air. Wealth, whether obtained legitimately or illegitimately, is ultimately unreliable. It will not last. It cannot save us. One of the movies that, as a family, we came to enjoy, and I'm not necessarily recommending it because we all like different things, but a movie that came out a while ago called The Big Short. The Big Short was a movie about the global financial crisis. So basically, it was looking back in retrospect on this thing that happened. And when you finish watching the movie, you kind of went, duh, how did we not see this coming? And so the Big Short, the best way to summarize it for us is that while all these people were investing in property and saying, you can't lose with property. The stock market is just going up and up and up. If you invest, you just can't lose. Like, what could go wrong? But there were a group of people, and this really happened, who quite legally bet against the rising stock market. They bet on what was called a short, that it was eventually what went up was going to come back down, and in a sense almost took out a policy so that when it dropped, they would get the payout of the difference between the stocks at its highest point and its lowest point. Yes, this is all legal. And people were willing to take the bet because they're going, it's just more people investing in the stock market. It's just good for us. What fools, what could go wrong? And then the movie is being played out and you're watching just the foolishness of people throwing money, you know, into property and into stocks and just assuming you can't lose. You just can't lose. And then the global financial crisis hit and everyone went, how did this happen? And then we went back and looked and watched what was going on. We're going, how in the world did we depend upon these people? Why did we depend upon these institutions? Parissa and I lived down in the Balmain area during the first really big rise in the Sydney property market. When we were living there around Lilyfield and Roselle, the house that we moved into, which was a rental, and we knew the lady, she bought for just under $300,000. By the time we moved out of there, 10 years later, it was worth over $1 million. And we sat and we watched people on the street. Every time someone was auctioning off their house, there were balloons out the front. There were house parties. There were street parties. Everyone was coming down. They wanted to see how much my house is worth now. And when suddenly their house doubled in price after so many months or whatever, everyone cheered. What can go wrong? This is wonderful. You can't lose with real estate. And now we watch the news today, and we realize that in our zeal to watch our house not be a home but an investment, we've priced ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren out of a home. The news is that most of you, if you are a child or your grandchildren, you won't own a home in Australia unless it's given to you. You can't. What a great idea all of that was. You know, you can't trust in money. You can't trust in financial institutions. It will eventually let you down. And so what the psalmist really wants to say to us is that ultimately God is the only one who is dependable. And in verse 11, he says this, "One thing God has spoken, and two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. You reward everyone according to what they have done." In the end, our value will not be weighed on human scales. In the end, our value will not be weighed on a worldly scale. In the end, what really matters will be what matters to God. That is what will be called valuable, that which is valuable to God. The book of Revelation picks up on this, and you get some of the same words. So I'm reading from Revelation 20, verse 12. John writes, "And I saw the dead, great and small," right? The highborn and the lowborn, "standing before the throne. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books." All of the secret dealings, all of the great financial deals, all the little legal wranglings and the political alliances, in the same way that the birds are watching down on the trap, God is watching down. He sees every last thing. It's all being written down. Everything that everyone has ever done, thought, or said. And one day, the books will be opened in full view of everyone. And the books will be read out in full hearing of everyone. And everyone will be judged according to what we have done. Except for the fact that John mentions this other book. Fortunately, there's also what has been called the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who did not trust on themselves or didn't trust in the things of the world, they didn't think they could buy their way out, they didn't think they could negotiate their way out, they called out to God for mercy and they said, "You alone are dependable. Please help us and save us." And you were written down in God's book of salvation because you trusted in Him. You trusted not in the things of this world. And so this reminds us of the video that we watched and what we've seen up on the screen. And if you're not aware, that story, the story of a house built on a rock and a house built on the sand, comes at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So if you go back to Matthew chapters 5 to 7, you get this great body of all of Jesus' teaching. You know, everything about who he is and what he came to do and what he was on about and what he values, it's all there. It's all recorded. It's like a compass that the needle points north, like a man who claimed to be the way and the truth of the life. He said, This is what I'm on about. If you want it all in a nice sermon summary, here is what I'm on about. And at the very end of that, he said, "So I've said all these things to you, but you're either going to listen to me and trust in me or not. You're either going to be a person like a person whose house is built on a rock, or you're going to be like a person who built their house on the sand." And what Jesus was saying is the same thing that David said in Psalm 62. The world is undependable. It is like shifting sands around along the ocean. If you've ever walked along the ocean as the tide is coming in with your shoes off, you can feel it, can't you? You feel it shifting underneath your feet. Jesus said, you wouldn't want to build a house there, would you? But you can build your house upon the rock. The rock is dependable. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And this was sort of mentioned in the video, but Jesus is someone who has come, and the beautiful thing about God sending his Son is Jesus came and he occupied our flesh. If you ever said, "Oh, but God doesn't know what it's like to be human," yes, he does. Jesus came and occupied our flesh, and not like divine, supernatural, Superman flesh, our weak flesh, our corruptible flesh, flesh that gets weak and tired and feels pain and can die. Jesus stepped inside of our flesh, and in that flesh, Jesus was born into our broken world. He lived the early years of his life as a refugee in another place because they were trying to kill him. He went through his ministry with people trying to stone him to death and fling him over cliffs. He didn't know who he could trust and who he couldn't trust. Even his own disciples would flee and desert him. He knew about the unpredictability of life, but he trusted in God alone. And so as he got towards the end of his life and before he went to die on the cross for our sins and then rise from the dead, he said to his disciples, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." You get the contrast? I'm saying these things to you because I want you to have peace, because in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus came to live in our flesh, to die a death that we deserve to die, and rise again to give us new life that we couldn't have in ourselves. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life as we walk through this troubled world. He is the one in whom our soul finds rest. He is the rock of our salvation. Rob wanted us to sing a song that he chose out, which is a really a perfect reflection of this psalm. It is a bit new, and so we're going to come and hear it, but I've been told you will be able to pick it up quite quickly. We'll sing this as our song of reflection, and then we're going to share in communion together.